You are listening to Baseball Zealot Radio.
Okay, welcome to Baseball Zealot Radio. My name is Tom Nelsop, and I'm coming to you from Urbana. And we got C-Luke from Chicago. How are you doing, C-Luke?
Doing good, Tom. Long time no talk.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time. Hey, we got a nice review on iTunes. Someone logged in and gave us a customer review, and they said some good things about us.
Well, good. Was it you and I? It's very important. Or was it that Todd get mentioned too and others?
I think it was the show in general. I don't think it was
All right. I left for some specifics. And it probably wasn't, probably realistically, it wasn't one that I was doing. It's probably true. I even gave you a welcome here in the background as I logged in. Sorry, you're in the middle.
Right,
doing okay.
So thanks to Bo Sox fan for giving us a good review. Whoever you are, I assume you're out east rooting for the Red Sox, but thanks for the good review.
Maybe he would like Jose Contreras for one of his prospects, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, we'd be willing to do that here in a minute.
Right.
But what can I say?
I wanted to say that Sean Lee, who occasionally hosts the show, right now he couldn't make it. He's on the plane for the Vermilion Vols this afternoon. This year he's playing for the Vols. The Vols are a vintage baseball team, and every weekend or so they get together, play vintage baseball against another team. This weekend they're playing in Quinton, Illinois, and I'm not sure what team they're playing. It wasn't on the schedule. If they were on the schedule, I probably would have gone. But good luck to Sean. I'm curious just to hear how they did this afternoon. But
is that actually an exhibition, or is it that they play with a winner and loser?
It's a winner and loser. They play very competitively.
Okay, so that's what I was searching for. Thank you.
Right. I mean, it is essentially an exhibition for the fans. I mean, they definitely play for real.
What era rules are they going with?
1858.
What are some of the differences?
You can catch the ball on the bounce, and okay, it will be an out. One bounce only.
Okay.
And there's no sliding, no stealing.
No sliding.
No taking the lead. So those are some of the rules as far as base running. And what are some of the other rules? Essentially, I don't think there are any real balls or strikes. You just basically hit until it is hit into the field, and I don't think they really do get to the point where you swing three times anyway. I could be wrong about that. Those are the real main differences you notice. Actually, a fan could catch the ball in foul territory, and it would be count as an out or a system.
Right.
Yeah, it's one of the rare, obscure rules of vintage baseball.
Well, that's a pretty big thing, then.
Yeah, I mean, how it works is you catch the ball and you throw it in, and one of the players catches it, and then it's called it's an out. So
that's,
you're basically assisting the team. I don't think I've ever actually have seen it happen, but it can happen. you have to be on your toes.
Is there a website with that team? Maybe you can
get
that
out
to the listeners.
www.volesvbbc.org.
V-O-L-E-S-B, B as in boy?
Victor Boy Boy Cat .org.
Okay.
And I'll put the link in the show notes for the show.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's a real fun time when the family and I go out to watch them play. They're a lot of fun to just watch. Cause, I mean, it's a very...
What's the ball like from that era?
It's comparable to a softball. size-wise. But it's a little bit, I'd say, softer, and I'm not sure what it's made of. They have a company that makes these just for vintage baseball and uniforms and things like that. They make, and there's obviously a market for it because there are teams all around the country that do things like that. They obviously have a niche market.
I can't imagine there's got to be obviously other things that the company makes, but that's pretty amazing that there'd be that much of a market for that. However, there's companies out there that make vintage leather football helmets too, and collectors use those and things of that nature.
So anyway, good luck to Sean. I hope he does well. He just started this year. He actually does the website for the Wolves, and he's really enjoyed being associated with the team. He thought, well, you know, I'll give it a try. I mean, I think he seems to really enjoy it. So maybe we'll get a first-hand report from him when he comes back on the show. Speaking of Sean and I went to a lecture a few weeks back. Alan Nathan is a physics professor at the University of Illinois, and he speaks on the physics of baseball.
So what, you actually went to a class even though you weren't in the class? Isn't that kind
of... It was a sort of public. it was a class, but it was advertised to the public in the paper.
And what a difference 20 years makes, huh?
Yeah.
You might not have gone to a lecture if you were in the class.
You know, it brought back memories when I took my science equivalent for when I was at LAS, and I had to take Physics 101 in the same building, and I ditched every class.
What was the lecture for, though? Physics relating to...
It was the physics of the ball in flight.
Ah, okay.
And I tell you, half of his talk went over my head. But it was interesting because he talked about the physics of the ball, both in the flight from the pitcher's hand and during a pitch, as well as when the ball got hit. Very interesting. And he spoke for an hour, talked about, you know, the difference of speeds, when a pitcher pitches the ball, it loses about, 5 to 10 miles per hour from the pitcher's hand to when it gets to a plate, things like that. The arc of the ball when the fly ball gets hit, that kind of thing. Like I say, a lot of it, you know, my physics is very, rough around the edges. So I was, a lot of the formulas went way over my head, but, I did, email Alan after the show, and he did say he would like to come on the show.
Excellent.
Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to him, and hopefully we won't sound like, you know, too much of an idiot talking to him.
You hear the baseball expressions, and I remember, believe it or not, the great Jack Brickhouse, I remember him talking about baseball physics from time to time way back in the day.
Right.
But, you know, like the rising fastball, I believe we know that it can't really rise.
No, he actually did talk about that.
But that'll be interesting, if he can keep it to...
What he said was, what they mean by a rising fastball is a fastball that does not drop. That stays, maintains its altitude or does not fall as much as it normally does. That's what people really mean by rising fastball.
Yeah, it's an optical illusion.
Right.
So, good stuff. Yeah,
anyway, that was interesting. And hopefully, like I say, he tentatively agreed to come on the show. He's on vacation now. So, Alan, if you're listening to us, I hope you're having a good vacation. I'll talk to you soon.
sounds good.
So, Chuck, did you get a chance to watch the All-Star game?
Well, surprisingly, I watched a ton of the... I'm ducking the question right away.
Yeah.
Watched a ton of the Home Run Derby. Watched all the hype up to it, but we were actually visiting a friend that night, so wound up. But I didn't even tape it. For some reason, I didn't feel compelled to tape it for reasons that escaped me, because I was certainly interested in it.
Right.
But I did watch the last inning or so.
I think I was probably just the opposite. I think I missed the Home Run Derby. I missed all the hype. And I do that on purpose. I don't really particularly care for the Home Run Derby. I don't really care for all the hype. And I almost didn't make the All-Star game, but I came back just in time for the start, and I watched it through. And, of course, I watched the ending. But, one thing I will say about the All-Star game, and as far as the broadcasting, the media, one thing that the big party line, one thing they handed down, the memo they handed out was that everyone was happy that Barry Bonds was there. They made that very clear throughout the whole time, and McCarver was hammering that point through. Oh, you know, David Wright was just as happy as can be that he's playing with, you know, Barry Bonds today. And, you know, not any later. And there is no doubt that everyone, you know, everyone's happy to see that Barry Bonds is playing today. And it just seemed like it was like a memo that was passed around that, you know, please, you know, hammer the point down that, you know, that it's a good thing that Barry Bonds is playing today. And it's like, I think they might have mentioned once that there was actually a controversy with Barry Bonds, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it was obviously something that they wanted to stress with that.
Has he ducked out of many All-Star games? Like, you know, I should know this, but I don't. I mean, has he really been elected? I don't think
It's just the issue of, you know, of the, was he going to get elected and to the starting lineup and not. And I think they were just wanted to make it clear that he's a popular guy, and there's no, you know, nothing to see here, no controversy here, don't, you know, yeah, that kind of thing.
Well, of course, in the Bay Area, he is popular.
Oh, sure.
It'd be interesting to hear what Todd thinks. I don't know.
Right.
I get the impression he's still popular in Pittsburgh, although I don't know. What do you think about
Todd likes
Pittsburgh?
Todd's a big fan of Barry
Bonds.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
I thought
You know, he's not my cup of tea, but I'm not a Bonds hater either. You know, I'm not.
Well, of course, he's the, you know, greatest player in the history of the Hillel Elite, but that's not a story for another time. At least I want to mention for the title.
But wait,
I heard a real positive, and I like to give the person credit, but I didn't know who was saying it. It was on the Score in Chicago. I thought Sports Talk Radio today, they were talking about Bonds, and I happened to have him in the background, and I believe it was a reporter was saying how his son was in the clubhouse, and Bonds had him was sitting next to him, and they were like either looking at a video game or, and you know, like the media never reports this is his
point.
Bonds has got a lot of other interests outside of baseball. He dabbles in painting. I never had heard this.
No, I hadn't heard that.
And he was asking, I guess Brett Tomko is a painter too. You know, he was asking for advice on his, in his painting. I guess he's in a photography and things like that too. So yeah, you don't really, I don't know. Well, Ted and I have always talked about Teddy Ballgame, and I've always talked about this. You know, that growing up, you read about the players, and it was too much in the other direction. You know, they didn't have any faults. They were, you know, but you'd find out in the off season, Barry likes to paint, or you know, he likes to go to the dog track. Now it's just you hear nothing, or you hear about salaries, or you hear about the potential cloud of the steroids. You know, so the personalities, and maybe that's a byproduct of the salaries.
Right.
Not to get too philosophical here, but I mean, in the 70s, the salaries were still within range of the average working person, you know?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you could sort of relate, and now it's, how do you relate? You know, like they were talking about the Mark Burley signing. Well, you know, he got $56 million, you know, he took a discount, the home team discount, but how do you feel too bad about somebody, you know, taking $56
million? Sure. Yeah.
So, how do you relate to that, too, in other words?
Right. But anyway, they were trying to put a point across during the whole game. I think that argument hit me. I guess, leadoff man really did a job on, during the game. I mean, of course, Ichiro, you know, no doubt had quite a game. Everyone knows that. But you know, Reyes as well. He also had three hits, and I think that,
see, the MVP then, if the National League came back to win, well, depend on how they won, I guess. He would have been a shot.
I was happy to see that at least they made it a really interesting game. I mean, it was something, it was like, oh god, you know, 6-2, another, you know, blah game. But all of a sudden, you know, walk, and then, you know, Soriano comes through, you know, and then a walk by, you know, Derek Lee. And all of a sudden, you've got a game going. And then I went a walk, and then the bases are loaded. And then Aaron Rowan's up. And then what did you think was going to happen there?
You know what, I didn't, well, I didn't realize till after the game that, that Pujols was still available. So, like I said, I came in kind of late.
I was a little surprised.
That they didn't bat Pujols.
I thought I was thinking this, that Tony LaRussa was going to pinch it with LaRussa. I was at Pujols.
Yeah, it was ridiculous that he didn't. I don't know.
I mean, he said, he wanted to keep him for the extra innings. Well, you're not going to get the extra innings until you know.
Yeah, he's saying now, I read that he said, well, I should have batted him, and then if we would have not had a position player, we would have just forfeited. Of course, that would have been even more insane.
Well,
but even, imagine that outcry. I think, I would have to say, though, if he wasn't able to maneuver a 32-man roster, to a position where he could use Pujols and still have a guy playing in the outfield.
Sure.
He didn't do much of a, he didn't do a very good job managing. And I think that's the bottom line. Hate to be critical. I heard today that the Earl Weaver quote, when you talk about critiquing managers, did you hear this one? I think
it
was Pat Hughes, Ron Santo on the Cubs broadcast today, where Pat made the comment, was quoting Earl Weaver. He says, everybody thinks they can do three things better than everybody else. That's manage a hotel, start a fire, and manage a baseball team. So that's what his comment. I think I know that part about the fire and about the baseball team is true, because everybody criticizes them at it, and we camped about.
Yes, you know that you and I and Todd and Teddy Ballgame, we have a little experience with this kind of stuff. We're not just talking out of our ass. You know,
no, right. Even doing the fantasy
We've been playing APA baseball in a competitive league for, almost 30 years now. 40 years. Right?
Well.
Coming up to 20, yeah.
Well, 30-something, I guess.
Yeah, 35, 36 years. So we've got a little bit of experience here.
Well, as ridiculous as it sounds, it does give you, I know it's not managing people.
No.
But it's in terms of the actual game situations.
I do know if I had Aaron Rowan up and I had a base loaded, and I had Pujols on the bench, I wouldn't even think twice.
Yes, yeah. And I will say this, is, you know, people can make fun of Apple or Strato or any of that stuff. But you know what? The little bit of coaching I did, you know, with my son's basketball team, my daughter's basketball team, I coached probably about 10 years at basketball. A lot of that stuff did prepare me for making those decisions and thinking ahead. So I'm not going to let Tony off the hook so easily that he couldn't, you know, you let, and I guess Pujols was upset too, but I guess.
Well, I read the article the next day that he was quote irked, unquote. And then I read the article, like a day and a half later that it was blown out of proportion. So it makes you wonder if some gung-ho reporter, you know, heard Pujols say something and just ran with it and wanted to get his, I don't know.
Yeah.
His article published. I mean, he might have just, I don't know. Maybe Pujols was a little bit terse or whatever, but I think it might have gotten a little bit blown out of proportion. Cause I know they're fine now.
Well, you know, as much as we love Aaron Rowan in Chicago, and we still do, come on back, Aaron. Next year is a free agent. Yeah, I mean, logically, you'd much rather have, and Aaron is an all-star, you'd much rather have who holds up in that situation than anybody in baseball.
Sure.
In fact, it looked like to me, I think he swung at the second pitch, was it? No, I'm breaking it down, even though I did. It looks like, boy, Putz didn't have it, and Frankie DeKay, Kid K sure didn't have it. He was everywhere out of there.
No.
I thought Rowan should have been taken all the way with the bags loaded.
Oh, I know.
At least take, you know, a couple of pitches.
I would
he couldn't find a strike zone.
Well, I know.
And it's all second guessing.
Our buddy Don S. was not a big fan of Aaron Rowan. I'm not sure exactly why, but not a big fan.
Well, the talk here in Chicago, of course, was the 2004 Sox outfield was in the All-Star game. Unfortunately, none of them are wearing a Sox jersey. That would be Carlos Lee in left,
right.
Darren Rowan in center, and Maglio Ordóñez in right, all playing for different teams,
sure.
But they formed the 2004 Sox outfield.
There you
so,
go.
So, of course, but you know, I mean, that hey, we could use them today. What can I say?
Yeah, no kidding,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, it turned out to be a pretty good game. All
yeah,
all, so.
No, you can't admit, you have to admit that it was rather exciting for, I mean, just in terms of how tight it was and they actually made it into a game and result, at least from my perspective, not that great, but at least, exciting to watch.
Another one thing too, we're talking about the next day, I think at work or, you know, out of all the sports, In my opinion, I mean, it's nice to have a home field advantage in baseball, but it's probably the least important of any of the major sports to have a, you know, the home field advantage for
yep.
Game 7.
I think. Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of it is the importance of it is blown out of proportion. At
yep.
least that's my personal opinion. I don't know.
Well.
They keep talking about how, it, you know, this now it really counts. Well, you know. First of all, the game should count anyway. They should play the game to win anyway.
Well, I think they always have. I don't know. Do you think that was starting to fade? Is that
I think that it got to the point where it was more important that we get everyone in the game.
Yeah, that's true.
And now, like, you know, they were to the point where, what was it, 2002? Where they got everyone in the game and there was no one left to play
right,
and you
right,
had a
right.
tie. That's where
that was
a
joke. That was yeah, that was a joke.
And then,
but I think they, you know, I think they did both. I think over the years they've always done both. They try to get everybody
right.
in, but they still want to win. I mean,
so what was it this year where it's like one inning per pitcher? I mean, what happened to the old?
I don't know.
Lead the pitcher in for three innings as long as he's doing well.
That, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's more. Well, I know the roster has increased over the years. I think it's 32 now. So I don't think it was 32 back in the day.
No.
So that's one of the things. I was trying to find right now, what is the all-time record now, American League and National League? Have you seen that?
I don't know.
It's getting close, you know. I know it was, man.
I remember when I was a kid, you know, National League had American League, you know, by the balls. I mean, they really would.
Oh yeah,
back in the '70s.
Oh yeah, they're kicking butt. But
yeah,
we closed it in now. Last 10, they haven't won in 10 years. Is that correct?
Right.
So, and I do think though, looking at the rosters, I think the talent is really starting to even out though. I think so. And then I look
I
at the ERA, and then
right.
it's because of the DH only.
Sure.
ERAs are just so high in the American League compared to the National League.
Right.
I don't know if the DH is it. I did hear Jim Leland's comment, which, of course, I've said for a long, long time.
What?
But I'll give Jimmy his due. He wanted a DH in the All-Star game. I agree. There's absolutely no reason in an All-Star game to have a pitcher bat, in my mind. Now, you're a National Leaguer, so what do you say? Yeah, in the All-Star game. Forget the whole debate. Nobody's even talked about abolishing the DH in the American League. Nobody's even said anything about that, so... What's your 2 cents in an All-Star game?
I don't know. I'll respectfully disagree.
Really? That's a national. So you take that standard National League line like everybody does.
Why do you make your case?
Well, I'm just saying an All-Star game is the least likely venue you'd want to ever see a pitcher bat.
I don't want to see your pitcher's bat.
You do?
Come on. Yeah.
I don't mind seeing them even in the regular season, but not. I don't know. Here it is, by the way.
What's the difference?
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Because you got all these great hitters.
Right.
And now you want to see, you know, Mark Burley, let's say, bat. I mean,
but
Mark
what's
Burley
the difference
was an all-star this year.
In a regular...
Not to mention an American League batter. Not to mention an American League batter bat. Well, that's, like, ridiculous.
I don't know.
Guy who's batted like 8 times.
I would love to see Tom Glavine bat, you know, or you know, someone, Roger Clemens, for that matter. I would love to see take an American League pitcher.
I think we're back to the classic.
You know, there are some starting pitchers who I think would do excellent at the bat, and I think it goes back to how I feel the game should be played, you know. Personal opinion again.
Yeah, I don't think, I've always disagreed with the notion. Forget whether I want the DH or don't want the DH. I've always disagreed with the notion that most National League fans will say it kills all the strategy when you have a DH. Because I think it's much harder pulling pitchers, relief pitchers, and starters for that matter. It's much harder pulling pitchers in the middle of an inning when you don't have the crutch of, oh, well, you know, the National League, hey, pitcher's batting, he's gone.
It's just easier. You know? I can see your point.
It's a no-brainer. Here you got to go middle of an inning, and I see with our ridiculous Sox bullpen that we have.
I can see both ways. Because in a way that, okay, well, this pitcher needs to be, you know, is ready to be taken out. Okay, let's take him out. But, you know, now, without the DH, there are other extenuating circumstances where you need to, you know, with the pitcher being up the bat soon or not soon, you know, who knows. So,
yeah,
it just adds another, you know, level of, you know, strategy, I think.
Kind of interesting. I'm looking up while we're talking here. I wanted to get the stats. The standings, I guess it's up to date too. National League still up 41-35.
Wow.
And two ties. Which, and I'm just doing it eyeballing. I didn't sit there and count. It looks like a period of time in the late 50s to the, you know, late 80s maybe,
right.
Or mid 80s.
Wow.
They did something like a 25-5. They just were like,
wow,
pounding the heck out of the American League. And, you know, mm-hmm, some say integration is the whole reason that took place because the National League integrated,
pretty,
you know, much more recently than
they did. Yeah.
So it could be, but now I'm glad to see it's a little more competitive. And
yeah,
the last 15 years it's been the other way. And I think now, but getting back to what I was going to say, I think the rosters, you got Reyes, you got, trying to think of some of the other young players who are out there. I mean, you got a fair amount.
Right.
And then both leagues are starting to be a little more balanced, I think.
Right.
So, in my opinion, anyway. What about that Ivan Rodriguez deal? Did you hear much about that this week?
What's that?
Did you hear about the Ivan Rodriguez, his suspension? And I didn't really see all the details. He was basically suspended.
No.
This would be for Todd, I guess. But he was suspended for arguing. I don't really know all the details. But Leland was, says if we're going to get kicked out and suspended a game for arguing, then we should all be at Sunday school or something like that. So,
no, I didn't see that.
I would be curious to hear, an umpire's viewpoint of that, but he did get a one game suspension. So
for during the All-Star game.
No, I'm sorry. Not
during okay.
Excuse me. This
right.
is just after the All-Star game. I think probably
Rodriguez.
Wednesday.
Really?
Yes, and you know he's never does not have a reputation of being a hothead. Imagination. So
no,
but
yeah.
Well, here basically the Detroit catcher Ivan Rodriguez. I'm reading off of sports@yahoo.com. Detroit catcher Ivan Rodriguez was incredulous. And manager Jim Leland was irate at what both feel is an unjustified one-game suspension issued Saturday by Major League Baseball. Rodriguez was suspended. Oh, he made contact. For making contact with an umpire during a game against the Seattle Mariners on Thursday.
Here we go again.
Well, yeah, if you make contact, yeah. Rodriguez, who was also fined in an undisclosed amount, was ejected from Thursday's game in the fourth inning for arguing that he was interfered with while trying to throw out a base stealer. It is not right, Rodriguez said, adding he will appeal. The appeal will be heard by Bob Watson, baseball's vice president in charge of discipline, who also is known for what a piece of trivia, Tom?
Who?
Bob Watson. Do you remember that one?
There are a couple.
He had
the 1 millionth hit.
There you go. Run, right?
For.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Unknown's run. Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah. What was the other one?
There's another one that he's famous for. I forget what it was, but yeah. But that's one I remember.
Yeah.
When 1 millionth hit in major.
Oh, run, I think it was. 1 millionth run, wasn't it?
Oh, run. Excuse
yeah,
me.
Run, right.
Yeah.
But, here's Leland's comment. Arguments go on all the time, face to face, and there's not a suspension. To be suspended is ridiculous. That's bull, Leland said.
I like Leland. He's got,
Yeah, I like him too. He's still smoking away in the dugout.
I hear that, I hear when he has to do the TV interview in the dugout. It bugs him because he can't get his smoke break.
Oh, he gets it. Yeah, he came back and is a pretty successful manager. I don't know what he is time, but
he's all right. He's hard nosed and he tells it like it is. And in this case, he's right. I mean, I think it's the game a little too sensitive now. And I'd like to hear what Todd, our resident umpire on the show, has to say. Maybe we can ask him next time what his opinion is, or maybe Todd can email us and let us know.
That would be good.
I'd be curious because too often.
First, if you bump an umpire, aren't you? You know, I mean, now that I've read the story, I didn't see the play, but if you bump them, I don't know.
But what about did you see the Pinellas thing in June or May? I guess it was early June.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, they say he kicked the umpire, but he was actually just, kicking dirt, and maybe his foot touched the umpire. I mean, okay, that's.
Yeah, if you happen to go draw a jaw with somebody.
I didn't see his foot touch the umpire. Maybe it did. But let's get... I don't know.
Well, if you happen to go draw to jaw with someone, there's a good chance you're right up against them. That's a little different than...
Right.
Bumping is a little, hard to say the context.
Right.
Well, you know what I say, and I know I'm not here to take the ump's standpoint, so I can say it all I want. I think the ump's provoke much more than they ever did.
Yeah.
And maybe the players do too.
Right.
Might be the way the whole society is, but it just seems like...
We can blame it on 9/11.
Well, maybe among other things.
It's a post-9/11 society. We're all just a little bit too touchy.
Everybody seems to be that way. So if you're listening out there and somebody cuts you off, or if you're listening in your iPod and iPod deck, what is it, where you can listen to it in the car, then just smile and laugh and wave at the guy, all right? Not even worth getting involved. You want to be around for more baseball.
And
I picked up for Father's Day, I didn't talk here, I got a DVD gift, and I knew Todd would have been interested in it. It was the 79 World Series, and that's kind of sparked my emails to you. Getting back into 79.
You sent me an email about my and Brando's 79 replay, Apple replay. For those who don't know, my friend John and I have done a 1979 APA replay, and we got past the All-Star game, so we were doing pretty well. Now, just things happen, got busy doing other stuff, and we put it on hold, and it's still, my results are still on the web, right, Chuck? You checked it out?
Yeah, I did. I can check it and see if it has gone any further. But
I'm going to link it on the show notes if it's still, in decent shape, and you guys can check out and see how we're doing. I had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, link it up, because it got me... I looked at it last week. Of course, I emailed you.
Right.
And then I went to RetroSheet, another great site, as we have taught it in the past.
Yeah, right.
And I remember Todd saying, I couldn't remember if it was 1979, but I remember the Expos. He was telling me about how the Expos played the Pirates toward the end of the season in a big series.
Right.
And I had forgotten that the Expos in 79 were chasing right down the stretch.
Yeah, they had a great team.
With the Pirates. Yeah, the Phillies were out of it that year. The Phillies had won 76, 77, and 78, and then they win again in 80, but 79, they were out of it. I think the Expos were like a game behind the Pirates. The Pirates made a look. But not in your league, I see. Neither of those teams were around. You had
when we did the replay, I had the NL East and John took the NL West, and so the NL East is a fun division of play. I mean, the Pirates, the Cubs, actually, every team, with the exception of maybe the Mets, were really good. Definitely, any Apple players out there looking for a good season to replay, I definitely recommend the 1979 season. You get a good balance of hitting, power, some pitching, you get some steals. It's a good fun, season. And quite honestly, the 70s, you get a lot of fun players in that. Just fun players of color, they're interesting.
I think uniforms too, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
I had to see those, Pirates, and that was the cool thing for me. Actually, this is the second DVD collection I've gotten. And again, MLB puts it out. I got the 75 series.
Did you?
And the 79 series. It's funny how my wife knows how to get those. I don't know.
Yeah, right,
I must drop the right hands, I think. Very good. And I think there's a 77 out now with the Yankees. I think MLB website has got a lot of good.
Yeah, they do.
Of course, Amazon and all those fine places. Giving me a little bell for all the plugs we're giving out today.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
But they have, you know, good DVDs. And my problem is just sitting down and watching them. But it's kind of nice. The old yellow, the mustard yellow pirate uniforms. And
the We Are
Family. My son asked a question, though. When the Pirates adopted We Are Family, what did they sing? They sing I Have All My Sisters and Me? He asked that question from the mouth of an 11-year-old. I said, it's a good question. I don't remember if they just played the song in the background. And they kind of danced.
Todd's a Pirate fan.
That's right. The last vestige of the Pirates. I was watching the Pirate game today, Pirates and Braves.
Right.
Chip Carey was saying how the Pirates have something like, they drafted like 7 first round pitchers, and I don't know over what period of time, maybe the last 8 or 10 years.
Yeah, and
5 out of the 7 have had arm problems.
I was just going over that the last episode, and
that's amazing. Well, I was thinking, Mahomes, you know,
is the only one who has more than 10 wins in the majors right now, and
So I started thinking, you know, the Sox had. There was some stat that they were floating around up here saying that they have been the least injured team in the last 5 years. But they were almost suggesting that, it's kind of lucky, you know, and I'm thinking maybe not. Maybe it's their trainer, Herm Schneider.
Right.
This year they've been kind of decimated by injuries and getting old, and they've kind of paid the price.
Sure.
But their pitchers are still healthy.
Right.
So, I don't know. Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't hear much about the Sox anymore. Now that we signed Burley, that was the last vestige of
How did they pull that out? Just on that topic, how did Kenny Williams pull that out? I mean, we've heard for weeks that, you know, Burley is going to go to St. Louis. He's going to go, you know, someplace else. He's definitely not going to stay in Chicago. That's what I heard, you know, over and over. And then I heard the paper that, you know, that day that, Burley signed, you know, signed with the Sox.
Well, he always contended he wanted to stay here, and you never knew if that was just the right thing to say or.
Well,
if it was true,
that's not what I kept hearing. He was not gonna stay in Chicago.
He's having a baby. His wife and him are having a baby, and I guess Let's face it, St. Louis, where he's from outside the St. Louis area.
Sure.
It's not that far anyway.
No,
he's enjoyed pitching for the Sox. I'm elated just because of the fact, whatever direction Kenny Williams decides to go with the Sox, I'm elated that we at least have one cornerstone. He's only 28 years old.
Right. No, that's fantastic for the Sox, I think.
Yeah. And you got a little bit of a break. I know Kenny and Jerry Reinsdorf always love to sign these guys a little bit of a discount. But having said that, I guess everybody does.
Sure.
There was some talk up here, though, about MLB Players Association getting in the middle of that and putting some heat on Burley not to take it, you know, not getting this fair value in the market.
Right.
But then I think, I don't know if they either backed off of that and they thought the guy's getting $56 million,
right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean.
It's pretty hard to. You know, I mean, whatever. I mean, maybe he could have gotten 70 for, I think they agreed to a 4-year deal.
Sure.
They compromised. Sox had never, they have a standing policy that they don't want to sign a pitcher for longer than 3 years.
Sure.
And of course, the talk was Burley would get 5 years on the open market. So lo and behold, they just compromised at 4. And if they, so they agreed on that and then looked like they were ready to sign and then everything broke down again for like the next week. Talk shows up here were going crazy, and even though the Cubs had a pretty good run, or been making a good run, I should say, people were still pretty interested in the whole Burley situation. And I guess what they did is they, the Sox wanted a no trade, and Burley didn't want the no trade, because why would he give a home team discount if they're going to turn around and trade him?
Right.
So I guess they gave him a limited no trade, and if he is traded, then his salary escalates. So they compromised once again. So, I'm happy. Who do you put, I know he hasn't won a Cy Young award, but where do you put Burley in the, you know, in the pantheon of
starting pitchers?
Current pitchers? Yeah.
Oh,
I put him, I put him up there, obviously, but I don't
know. He's up there. I mean, maybe the second tier, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is he like better than like a Mike Mussina, let's say? I know Mussina's older.
I would think.
Mussina's pretty good. I have a guy at work that
he's having a good year, but Mussina's getting—he's like what 38.
Well, yeah, I'm not talking about. I'm just talking about career-wise.
Career-wise.
Yeah,
it's hard to say because, like you say, Mussina's up there, and Burley has to like prove himself. But it's hard to compare the two. But
my attorney friend Alex at work always tells me, he says, look up Messina. He knows I love the stats, and he just says, look up Messina. Look up Messina. He touts him. And
it's true. I had a great career. I mean, it's not
yeah, hard. Really underrated. You know what I mean? He's never mentioned at all as like one of the all-time
right.
greats.
No, he isn't. But
he's not far from being, you know, he's got some great numbers in his career.
Right.
You know, close to being considered an all-time great.
Yeah, our friend Mark Bunch, you know, he's had Messina on his APA team, and he always is a big advocate of Messina.
Moose. The Moose. His career is, you want to take a guess to see how many within five.
Okay,
wins do you think he has?
I already
don't
have
look
it
up.
Right in front of me, sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, for those out there, 242.
That's not
243 and 40. 243 and 140.
Right.
I don't think anybody ever would think he's 103 games over 500.
Right. No, exactly.
For his career. And with a 3.66 ERA. Every time I see these numbers.
How many pick pitchers do you think are 100 games over?
Oh, yeah.
Not that many. I mean, I'm sure. I think I actually saw Wes Lawrence in there. There weren't that many on there. I mean,
Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
Not far from it, I don't think.
I mean, he's what? How old is
he? Age-wise. I have it here. I got my trusty baseball register.
He's 40 next year.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to stop anybody these days.
No, I know.
You know?
Honestly,
but,
keep taking the magic pills, they'll be okay.
I didn't say that. Yeah, 4-6
oh,
and a 4.61.
Our next topic. Did you hear about Nephi Perez?
I did hear a little, we're going to use that S-word again. Are we back to that?
Does that beat all a 170 hitter taking some substance? It wasn't steroids. It was it stimulants, I think? Yeah.
He was only 140 hitter before.
Look at that way. Yes, he was.
Yeah, so he
increased
his hitting
by 30 points.
What can I say? I didn't give that. Is he playing at all for Detroit? He's been suspended.
I doubt it. No.
Deanna Navarro is the guy that also made the news too. Did you hear about that one?
No, not
for his enhancement ability, but I guess his taking stimulants. But I believe. If he continues at his pace, which is a long shot, he's hitting 177 on the season. He joined some company of ineptness, I hate to say it, sorry, Deanna, for lowest average. Like
that would be Alfredo Griffin, right?
I don't know
Alfredo
who they mentioned.
Has
that's
lowest
just, you know,
average of
yeah, for most at bats, yeah.
I think he does.
I'm trying to think of another noteworthy. Let's see, he is now. Deanna, and I told Nick to take him too. What do I know? So
yeah,
218 at bats, he's at 179. So he's having a rough year. But I do another good catcher's news. I think isn't Jason Kendall went a whole slew of at bats without a home run. He was approaching.
He didn't have one last year at all. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he's got two this year. I'm trying to look that up now. But
Kudos
making the comeback.
Jason.
He's got. Two this year, yeah.
Wow. Do you remember his father?
Fred. Yeah.
Fred. Fred Kendall.
Fred with the Padres. I don't think Fred was much of a home run hitter.
No, he wasn't much of a hitter at all. So kudos to Jason
really.
for doing that hitting thing. Yeah, he played.
Yeah, the son had some great years. You know, really. I mean, Jason had some real big years. He's still a 298.
Oh, he sure did. He sure did. But Fred shows up to the park once in a while. See his son play. I see him on they show him on the screen once in a while, so.
Padres and where else? I don't know. Maybe.
I think it was Padres.
Could have been just the Pods.
Might have been the Giants.
Your Cubbies are making a nice little run. Is it?
Yes. We had a good end to the first half, except for maybe the last weekend when we swept the Astros. I think we're 3.5 back.
I've known you a long time, and there's a type of Cub fan up here that, and maybe there's a Sox fan, type of Sox fan too that I just choose to ignore. But there's a Cub fans that are up here that are they call them in a talk show saying the Brewers will definitely fold. When we hit the series. I mean, the confidence level on some of these fans is, in my opinion, ridiculously high. Whereas I think a fan like you is a little bit happy but wary. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, what's your take on? the season so far. You're happy, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think you're getting ready to get the World Series tickets out just yet, are you?
I heard someone call into a podcast. It was probably late May. Ready to get those World Series tickets.
For the Cubs, yeah. No, I heard it up here.
Late May when they're probably in, you know, fifth place.
I mean, realistically, and I'm not trying to say this as a Sox fan, I agree they're playing well and have an excellent chance of winning their division.
Right.
Having said that, they are only like 4 games over .500, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
which is one
thing
they were, you know, three weeks ago. So,
yeah, I give. You know, looking at the GMs in town up here, Hendry versus Williams, I give Hendry, you know, an A, and Kenny Williams probably a D for their off-season moves. Kenny got Darren Erstad, who's only been hurt the last 4 years, and even if he does play, I think I said to one of the other zealots, if he has 400 at bats. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, what I say now is I would love to have Yurst at 400 at bats, if it means we'd have less at bats for Mikowiak and Luis Torero and God, Andy Gonzalez and a whole lot of stiffs that the Sox have paraded out to the outfield this year. It's been kind of a joke.
Well, we're playing it one day at a time, as they say. We're every day I look at the standings and check Milwaukee's. Game and see if they lost or if they won. And for a long time, the Cubs were winning, but the Brewers were winning too, and that was what really hurt us. But now I notice they're not. They're losing a couple, and that helps.
Yeah, it should be an interesting race. I don't think it's, I don't think anybody will pull away from either team. And then there's always somebody else that could creep up, you know, and the Cardinals, although they're pretty well been decimated this year. I don't know. But I don't know if you can count them out just yet.
No. So what's your take on the whole C-League bonds issue? Or is it an issue that just has been talked to death?
Yeah, it's been talked to death. I
don't care.
Show up.
You just don't care.
Well, I think, you know what, I don't know if everybody really cares, because I don't think either of those personalities are well-liked in fandom.
Right.
So I don't think the fans care about Bonds, and I don't think they care about C-League, and I don't think they care whether he shows up or Bonds hits it. I don't know what where did I read it? It might have been Sports. I don't know if it's Sports Illustrated. If it isn't, I apologize. But I thought one of the publications said they are going to, on their front cover, after Bonds breaks the record, assuming he will, of course, they're not going to show Bonds. They're going to actually show Hank Aaron. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And then I've actually seen the Tribune had a real nice article last Sunday, July the 8th, on Sadaharo. You know, shouldn't he be the rightful all-time home run champion? You know,
there you go.
How
many does he have? 800?
800, yeah. He had about like 830 or something.
Right,
like
830 something, yeah.
Yeah, but I can't. Now I'd have to say, Japanese baseball, I don't know if I'd say it's still, you know, major league caliber across the board. Certainly their top players are. I mean, everybody's kind of proved it, I think.
But you can make the argument that the top players are, you know, have the stats that they do because they're facing, you know, weaker pitching, you know, that kind of argument.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't think Ichiro's really slowed down any.
No, I would never make the argument, you know, not the Don S's base at least.
Oh, yeah, he got it down anyway.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
It's too bad that Ichiro did not, I mean, as it is, he's on his pace for, you realize he'll be close to have 1,600 hits already at the end of this year.
That is
in the majors. Yeah, and he left.
Right. He's what?
He left
to 70?
Like three?
Five?
Yeah, well, 2001. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
right.
Yeah, 7 years.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it is. And he left in Japan. He's got, let's see, three, top of my head, eight, another maybe 1,300. So, he would be, you can argue if he would have started in the major leagues, he'd be at 3,000 hits.
Right.
And they closed the book, so he's what, 34 maybe?
Wow.
Look out, Mr. Rose.
Yeah, seriously.
And unlike Mr. Rose, he's hitting, what, 330 for his career?
I don't think Rose is a gambling either.
I'll give you 2-1, he's not. But, anyway, put on rim shot.
I see what you did there.
Chuck made it funny every once in a while.
There we go.
331 average coming in and it only went up.
Right. Right.
Not to mention 200 steals in the majors. Yeah, he's a pretty amazing guy.
Really? 200? Wow.
Yeah. And he feels like I'll get out too. I was hoping he'd go on a free agent market. Of course, people were talking about him coming here. At least the Sox fans were, but.
Yeah.
That's been quickly quashed. Does Jack Jones stay now on the north side?
I don't think he will. His days are numbered.
And then who plays that? I saw DeRosa out in one of the outfield spots again today, huh?
Yeah. We'll have plenty of spots available. There are players available for any outfield. I don't think we'll have that issue.
PA
did get sent down, but he could probably come up. And then Floyd, although Floyd is, you know, I heard he's out for the time being, I think. But and of course Soriano.
Oh, I
and
went down
the Rosa and Ontario both can play outfield too if necessary. So,
well, he's got a ton of weapons, which Hendry has done. My hat's off to him because he's given to Noah every option. Whereas you look at the other side of town, we got nothing. I mean, we have nothing. We have nothing in the minors. We have nothing in our bench. And
The Soxcast? I'm going to tell another podcast here, and I believe it or not, I do listen to a Chicago White Sox podcast.
It's called, for you.
I'm a Cubs fan. I listen to a Sox podcast called Soxcast. George Heitkamp. And you should listen to it because he is the most frustrated man on earth right now. and you can hear on it and hear it in his voice.
It is. It's frustrating the way we're playing because, you know, what's the one thing, you know, that everybody says you need? Starting pitching.
Right.
And we have it this year, except for Contreras, but I mean,
yeah,
with Burley, Garland, and Vasquez pitching very well.
Right.
We have that. So that should be,
that's what they, you know, they said at the beginning of the year, is that despite the fact that you lost Garcia, you still had it, and that wasn't
right, the big three are going good.
Right.
Bullpen has been horrendous, we've had nobody, you know, when Pitsednik and Erstad went down, we've had nobody to fill in.
Right.
And it's been in Creedy too. You know, I don't want to minimize.
It's like the hitless wonders all over again, except for not the wonder part.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of the Northside Hitmen, but that's the first of it. But they do hit. You know, they'll score six runs and then we lose, like we did last night.
Right.
Or then today we'll score three runs, have two homers, and we still lose. Or then we'll score nine runs. Well, Nick was over Friday. We're up 9-2 going to the ninth. We went 9-7. I mean, can we just have like a 10-0 game where we win and we're all happy? But no, I don't. Unless a miracle happens, I'm pretty much writing off this season. Although stranger things have happened, but you know, with Erstad and Pitsednik get there, we don't have anybody in the pen. They did bring up Charlie Hager. Who are there any other knuckleballers going? Are there any other than Wakefield and Hager? Are they only two knuckleballs pitchers out there right now?
I'm thinking. I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking there's one more, but I can't think who it is.
I watched the Sox game last night. It was extra innings. The leadoff hitter got on for the Orioles. And my normal modus operandi is to turn the TV off because I know we lost. But even though I thought we were going to lose, and we did, it was so intriguing to me to see Charlie Hager in that knuckleball that I hung around to watch it. And I was dancing. It was one of the pitches was 72 miles an hour. And I think he might have gotten up to 78.
Right.
But it was moving all over the place. It was kind of, your guy, Markakis, just poked one to the left side. Very smart hitter, just poked it to the left side and won the game. So, well, after the way, is your Sox podcast, is that linked?
It's linked from thebaseballzealot.com.
All right. Thought of everything.
Anyone who's interested in the baseball podcast that I listen to, go to thebaseballzealot.com. On the left side, I have a podcast directory, and it has a list of pretty much an updated list of podcasts that I listen to that are baseball related. And I think I have the Soxcast on there. I have Cubscast on there too, which I listen to a little more regularly. But if I'm interested in seeing what's going on the South Side, I listen to that. And I think Soxcast and Cubscast are part of the same umbrella organization, just different people. Of course, you know, fans. And yeah. South Southcast is a done by one Sox fan, and the Cubscast is done by three Cubs fans who I actually met during the Cubs convention. Very nice guys. But I'll put a plug in for my fellow Sox fans out there who listen to Soxcast. You can also go to Soxcast.com. I guess it's the web address if you want to go check it out. It's definitely worth listening to, especially if you're a Sox fan.
I want to go check that out.
Yeah, definitely.
After we're done here. Maybe even while we're working in this.
Yeah, there we go.
No, I'll do it. I'll wait until it's done.
But everyone listening, check out www.thebaseballzealot.com. That's our blog that we I write it every day or so. You can check out our podcast website. That's baseballzealotradio.com. If you want to email us, you can email us at feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. Our phone number, if you want to leave a voicemail, someone just left us a voicemail, but I think it was a crank phone call from some teenager, so I recommend you don't do that. Just, serious inquiries only. 217-883-4571. I would love to hear some of your comments about the show. Once again, I want to thank both Sox fans for giving us a good review on iTunes. We always love hearing that. And again, let me just reiterate, we do have the best way to get our show is on iTunes. You can go to baseballzealotradio.com and click on the iTunes link, and you can download the show. And I think about 90% of our downloads are through iTunes. And that's probably the easiest way to download the show.
Or listen directly through the website, right?
Or through the website, yeah.
Right, you can listen directly there, too. So.
Or Chuck can go over to your house and he can talk to you.
I could. If you want, if you need, if you're having trouble getting to sleep, I could be the perfect
answer. Right, there you go.
But you never know. Or, one of these days we'll have to mic it up for the EPA convention and hear the baseball chat.
Oh, there we go. That'd be awesome. Well, speaking of APA convention, APA is having their annual convention in Pennsylvania, in a week. Do you know where
it's
going?
I'm not, unfortunately. I've never been to that. I know you guys have.
I've been to a couple of them, but I just didn't know about it ahead of time. I don't think I could have gone anyway. But if anyone out there who's an APA fan and wants to go, I'll put a link in the show notes. If you're going, have a blast, because they're a lot of fun.
If you're curious about APA, of course, the APA Game Company website and Delphi Forums has got a lot of good material.
Oh, yeah. I'll put a link in the show notes.
There's some good stuff on
there. Yeah, if you are an APA fan, and there is the forum that Chuck's talking about, it's the only forum I know of that has people who play APA constantly, responding and a lot of traffic and you can talk to people who play the game. I'll include a link in the show notes that you can, on baseballzealotradio.com, and you can check it out and it will, it's just a good way to meet other people who play the game and talk to them, and they have, you can share your replays, you can talk about changes to the game, that kind of thing. It's a real, good way to, share information. So
I think so.
Anyway,
what's that? In terms of your phone number and dropping an email,
right.
I'm thinking if somebody's got a category or topic that's really near and dear to their heart, send it in. You never know.
Yeah, let us know,
Right. For sure, what you like, what you don't like.
Feedback@baseballzealotradio.com or 217-883-4571. Just let us know. We would love to hear from you. If it's something you want us to talk about, let us know. If you're tired of hearing about Bonds or whatever, just let us know. Give us an idea what you want us to talk about. We'll be happy to, veer off or stay the course, down some points of light.
There you go.
There you go. Chuck.
That sounds good.
Any last words?
No, I say, go Sox and,
yeah.
I can't say go Cubs, but I can say best of luck
for
the rest of the year.
All right. Go Cubs. Hang in their socks. I can say that.
Yeah. And rest in peace, Shooter. I know you was you blogged on the website.
I saw the Shooter at the Cubs convention.
Yeah.
And he was, like I mentioned on the blog, that his line downstairs is one of the longest, and he definitely had a following that people, he was definitely one of the most recognizable. I mean, some Cubs down there were just signing autographs. It's like, who was that? Oh, yeah, Doug DeCenzo. I mean, you don't recognize all the Cubs from back in the 70s and 80s, but you can't not recognize the Shooter. I mean, so rest in peace, Rod Buck. Thanks for 1989. So,
yeah, 98. He was a 98 guy, wasn't he?
Did I say 89?
I said 89, yeah.
Thanks for 98.
Well, yeah, 89. You did win in 89. You won something anyway. You got the playoffs. But, yeah, 98. No.
Thanks for 1998.
There you go. He was the guy.
Anyway. All right, Chuck. Good talking to you, as always.
All right, you too, Tim.
All right, take care.
We'll talk soon. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.